Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad to be coming to you in Madison and North Florida. We're glad to be bringing you a message from the Word of God that will inspire you, enlighten you, inform you, and I pray delight your soul today. There is hope in Jesus, and there's hope for the future in spite of how bleak and dark it may seem. And I'm not just talking about the future of this planet. I'm talking about your personal future today. Wherever you are in your life, I want you to know that God knows where you are. He knows exactly the number of hair on your head. Nobody knows you like God knows you. And nobody, friend, loves you like God loves you today. Amen. So we pray you'll stay tuned. And we're going to bring you a message in a moment from God's Word, a teaching from God's Word out of the book of Revelation. We've entitled this teaching, Jesus is alive and well. Praise God. Amen. We just want you to know that we serve a living God and a risen Savior. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And He can reach way down today to wherever you are in life, as deep and dark as life may get sometimes. God knows where you are. He knows who you are. And He gave His Son that He might save and deliver you. So please don't miss this broadcast today. It's very, very important that we hear something out of God's Word to give us hope and help in this fallen world. If you are a return listener, we welcome you today, every one of you in Madison in particular, and those of you in North Florida that hear this as it comes directly from WMAF, and those of you listening by computer, we're so glad that you have discovered this radio station, and through that you've discovered this broadcast. We welcome you back. First time listener, please stay tuned today. We believe this will be a blessing to you. And if you're not a Christian today, you've been listening to gospel music right here on WMAF, and you've heard songs filled with faith and hope, we want you to know why those songs were written. We want you to know what God's Word has to say about God's great plan and purpose for your life. He doesn't want you lost. He wants you saved today. Please don't miss this broadcast. Amen. If you would like to go to our website and download any of the sermon material or recent broadcast of Let's Talk About Jesus, you can just type in on Google, in particular, one of the greatest and biggest search engines, so well known that they just say Google it. Well, you can Google it today, and you know the jargon if you have a computer and hooked up to the World Wide Web. So you can type in THCOG, that stands for The Holy Church of God, and our homepage will come up, and you can are free to browse to see our statement of faith, to download any sermon materials you would like, no strings attached. You can download any of the recent broadcast of Let's Talk About Jesus. Our media minister has made it very easy to download to MP3 or iPod or any kind of digital equipment like that, and you're welcome to have any of those materials to hear, to take and share anywhere that you would like to. We want to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, and we're just seizing the opportunity that we have right here on WMAF and our homepage to do that. So please come and visit with us. I've been pastor here in Tampa for 37 years almost of the Holy Church of God, and we would welcome you to come and visit with us. If you have your Bibles today, would you open it to Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 through 18? I'm going to read now. I'm going to set this up by telling you that John, St. John the Divine, has been really for punishment and banishment judgment has been sent to the Isle of Patmos. And this is what happened. He received the revelation. Some professors and Bible scholars believe that he was sent to hard labor, to sold into slavery, literally, and working as much as 12 hours a day in a salt mine. That having said that, I want you to know that God knows where you are, and no matter what circumstance you're in, God can speak to you and even through you. And we have the revelation today from a man highly persecuted for his faith in Jesus Christ. They thought they had banished him and they would never hear of him again. But we have a fine, wonderful book in the Bible called the Book of Revelation, because John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I'll tell you, they might try to keep you from your family, keep you from your friends, keep you from your home, keep you from your nation, but I want you to know they can't keep you from the Spirit of God. Amen. God, it can come to you wherever you are and speak to you and through you. Listen to this. Amen. John says in verse 10 of Revelation 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, to Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun that shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Literally, in the Amplified, verse 18 is our text that we put in context today. And from the Amplified, it says, And I am the ever-living one. I am the living. I am living in the eternity of eternities. I died, but see, I am alive forevermore. And I possess the keys of death and Hades, the realm of the dead. Friend, I'm going to declare to you today from God's Word that Jesus is alive and well. Praise the Lord. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth. As the eternal God, who has life in himself originally, essentially, and indisputably, and is the fountain and author of life to others, and who ever lived as the mediator and redeemer, and still does, and ever will. Yes, even when he was dead as a man, because he said, I'm he that liveth and was dead. He died the death of the cross for the sins of his people and all people in due time. But once, and it was but a short time, he was held under the power of death, and he will never die anymore. For he says, And behold, I'm alive forevermore. I was alive, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He was always alive as God, or he was always the living God, and ever will be, and he is now alive as a man, and will forever continue so. And he is alive to God. He lives by him, with him, and to his glory. And he is alive to the benefit and advantage of all of us who are redeemed, for whom he died. He ever lives to make intercession for them. He rose again from the dead for our justification, our being quickened together with Him, and our being begotten again to a lively or living hope, as the Scripture said, a lively hope, are owing to His being alive. And as their reconciliation is by His death, so their salvation, or the application of it to them, is by His interceding life. And His resurrection is the cause of our hope of resurrection. Amen. I'm always inspired, even when I see a funeral portrayed on television where they're standing at the graveside and they say, "We commit so-and-so back to the earth in the certain hope of the resurrection." I like the certainty of the Word of God. Hallelujah. God is dead. The philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche is famous for making that statement. This man based many of his works on the premise that man must find a new way of being given, a new way of being given the fact that God is dead in the hearts of modern man killed by rationalism and science. He proposed that humankind should accept the fact that God is dead and start creating their own set of morals and find their own purpose for their lives. British poet William Ernest Henley echoes the godless philosophy of atheism in his poem Invictus. The title Invictus is Latin for unconquered. Timothy McVeigh, convicted and sentenced to death for the lethal Oklahoma City bombing of 1995, chose Invictus as his final statement. I still shudder when I read this defiant poem. It reminds me that Satan lives also, but he is not well. Listen to Invictus. Out of the night, and this man is facing eternity, and this is, he quotes something from Invictus. Listen to this poem. "Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." Friend, I shudder when I think that this philosophy is being embraced by so many in this fallen world. I want to proclaim very clearly that my soul has been conquered and that I gladly bow to my King and my Savior. What a joy it is to know Jesus Christ, the conqueror of death and the giver of life eternal. Friedrich Nietzsche said that God is dead, and now Friedrich Nietzsche is dead. William Henley is dead. Satan is sentenced to eternal banishment and punishment, and very soon he will be wrapped up in chains and cast into the bottomless pit and held there until the final destiny in the lake of fire. But Jesus is alive and well. Because of Christ's resurrection, the devil is doomed and defeated, but death is dead concerning the believer. But Jesus is alive, and Jesus is well. Praise God. To the first century Christians, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the pivotal event in history. Their dramatic encounters with Jesus after His escape from the rock tomb were vivid and unforgettable. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, we proclaim concerning the Word of life. The life appeared, and we've seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared unto us. Amen. That's 1 John 1:1, as it opens up the scriptures, praise God. These are certain days in the timeline of history that have special significance. These are days that change the lives of people, either for good or for bad. In our generation, the first moonwalk in July 1969, the assassination of President John Kennedy in 1963, and more recently, the September 11th terrorist attack on America, qualify as life-changing days. But there was one day that changed life more on earth than any other before or since. It was the first Easter, the morning of Christ's resurrection. It is said during the French Revolution, someone said to Talleyrand, Bishop of Autun, "The Christian religion? What is it? It would be easy to start a religion like that." Talleyrand responded and said, "Oh yes, all one would have to do is get crucified and die on the cross and rise again the third day." Friend, amen, the Christian religion is marked by one who conquered death and the grave. Let's consider some of the results of Christ's resurrection. Number one, it was confirmation. It testifies to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only God could say, "Destroy this temple," speaking of his own body, "and in 3 days I'll raise it up." John 2 and verse 19. Romans 1 and verse 4 says Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from among the dead. And Romans chapter 1, 3 and 4 says concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The deity of Jesus Christ is both actual and eternal. I would not want to put my faith in any other place than the true God for my salvation. And Jesus was very man, but friend, he was also very God as well. We're not worshiping a worthless, non-existent God, as does the heathen. Christ claimed he would rise from among the dead in John 2:19. Some thought Jesus was talking about the Jewish temple, but he was referring to his body. Christianity begins where all religion ends, with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did the rising of the Lord Jesus Christ prove to us and to others who would consider the great fact? Number one, it proved Christ to be the very Son of God. Romans 1:4 says, "The word declared comes from a word which has the idea of setting a boundary. It speaks of something that has been decreed or appointed." Jesus clearly said if they destroy this temple or his body, that he would rise and raise it up again. His coming forth from the grave says, as does all Jesus had previously done, miracles, that he was God's only begotten Son. It proves, secondly, that all Christ claims were true. It validated his teachings and his word. He never promised one thing that he was unable to fulfill. The Bible pinpoints Christ as the faithful and true witness in Revelation 3 and verse 14. Listen, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Faithful points to his dependability, while true witness speaks of his impeccability. If the Lord Jesus could accomplish this resurrection he promised, then he can certainly bring about every other claim and bring them to pass. Hallelujah. Listen to Peter's proclamation in Acts 2, 22 through 24. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Number three, it proved that death could not hold Christ. The Apostle Peter said about the matter that it was impossible that Christ should be held down by death. The idea is that death could not restrain or master the Lord Jesus Christ. Death could not master Jesus, because Jesus has all power, according to Matthew 28:18. Our Savior can break the bonds of death and the grave. And friend, if He's that powerful, that mighty, literally almighty, He can conquer sin's power in your life. You can't conquer it. I can't conquer it. Amen. But Christ, when He's received as our Savior, our mighty Deliverer, He can conquer it. Does that mean we'll be sinlessly perfect? No, we will never be that until He comes and we are totally transformed. But we can be perfectly set free from the prison house of sin, so we are not obligated to sin anymore. Praise the Lord. Amen. We will struggle with our weak flesh. We will struggle with the wicked world. But I'm telling you, you will not feel that sense of imprisonment where you can't break free, regardless of what the habit of sin has brought you into. Jesus Christ, because He's conquered the grave, He's conquered our enemy Satan, and He's conquered every foe through His resurrection life. And He's alive and well today. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're not so bound up that Christ can't set you free today. You're not so deep into sin and habits that God can't break those prison doors open for you today. There is nothing that He cannot do. He's conquered the greatest enemy that there could ever be, that enemy of death, and that enemy called Satan, the entity that holds you in bondage. And I'm telling you today, if you want to be free, you can go free, because Jesus is alive and Jesus is well today. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to somebody today listening to this broadcast, and you may think that Jesus is some ancient character out of history that has little or no relevance to us in the 21st century. I want to tell you today, Jesus is still saving the lost. Jesus is still setting the captive free. He lives, and He was dead, and behold, He was going to live forever. Evermore. And the Bible said, friend, that He became the first fruits of them that slept. It meant the first man, because Jesus took on flesh and became man that He might die on the cross. And He became the first man raised from the dead, never to die again. And that's what is meant when a believer is put to rest in a cemetery. They are put into the ground in the certain hope of the resurrection, because a day is going to come when a great trumpet is going to sound. There's going to be a shout of the archangel, and Jesus is going to descend from heaven. Amen. And the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are living and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Death couldn't conquer Him, so death can't conquer them who trust in Him. Praise God. And sin couldn't conquer Him. He lived a sinless life that He might shed sinless, pure blood so that we could be saved, so that God could accept that perfect sacrifice in our behalf today. I can't offer Him sinless perfection. I can claim the perfect sacrifice for my sin. That is the blood of Jesus Christ that I plead. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, friend, today, don't let the devil defraud you out of this wonderful gift that God has given us in His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sacrifice lamb has taken our place on the old rugged cross so that we could be set free. It was His mission to this earth for when he picked up the book and began to read to start his ministry at 30 years of age. He proclaimed, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the gospel to the poor, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, to heal the brokenhearted." Jesus came to heal those oppressed of the devil. Praise God. And he took it all in our place so that we might be set free. Make no mistake about it. This is not just about turning over a new leaf. This is about getting a new life. Praise God. Amen. This is not embracing a religious ideology. Amen. This is meeting a person who has come to this earth, lived his life as a man on this earth, that he might die as a man in our place on the cross, and that he might be raised incorruptible, and that he might come again to receive us unto himself. Praise the Lord. This is a relationship with God through His Son, and this is a relationship with His Son by the Holy Spirit. It's more than getting religion. It's getting reconciled to God and having a vital, personal relationship with Him. Praise the Lord. That's why I don't just go to church and practice some kind of creed and ritual. No. I go because when we assemble together in Jesus' name, He says, "There am I in the midst of them." As we praise Him, we sense His presence. As we declare His Word, we feel Him close to us. As we walk out of that assembly, and we know that He goes with us every step of the way. Praise God. If sometime during the week we find ourselves in an emergency room, in a situation that we need Him so desperately that we feel Him very near and very close to us. Ah, friend of mine, God offers us more than some kind of dead, religious, ritualistic routine. Jesus is alive and well. Praise God. Amen. And something else about this Jesus. The Bible declares Him to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because of His mighty name, amen, prayers can be answered. We can see God move in our families, in our churches, our life, our nation, our world. And I'm telling you, I believe that God is moving upon His people to trust Him like never before. You know, there was a church in the book of Revelation that becomes so ritualistic and powerless and empty of any semblance of the presence of God that He said, "Thou hast a name that liveth, but thou art dead." And friend of mine, I want you to know there may be some dead churches around, but Jesus is alive and well. Maybe your exposure to religion has been empty and cold. You need to get exposed to the one that John saw on the Isle of Patmos. And I'll guarantee you it won't be empty and cold. But living, fulfilling, forgiving, salvation will come to you. If you, right where you are, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you bow your head right now? Would you invite Him into your heart? Would you sincerely repent of your sins so that Jesus could come in and set you free and seal you with the Holy Spirit so that you can come to the end of your life someday and the minister can say, "We commit this person, you or me, the body to the ground, but in the certain hope of the resurrection. Life eternal awaits us." And if you're a Christian today, keep your trust in Jesus Christ. Pray like you've never prayed. Believe like you've never believed. Stand upon the Word of God, because Jesus is alive and well. Praise God. Well, we love you today. Why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. Yeah.